Mr. President, we've had a significant amount of time on this floor discussing the minimum wage, which is a certain worthy topic of discussion. But I rise today to talk about maximum wages, which I think we've lost a little bit of attention to. And in specific, Mr. President, I'd like to talk about a segment in our Commonwealth, in our society, in our labor force, that has been rendered voiceless by the governor. And I rise today, Mr. President, to bring a voice for them to this chamber. Mr. President, I rise today on behalf of the Boilermakers Union, the Electrical Workers Union, the Operating Engineers, the laborers, the carpenters, the pipe fitters, the iron workers, the mine workers, and the list goes on and on. And what do those institutions have in common? Those entities represent thousands of hardworking Pennsylvanians who work every day to make sure our lights stay on, we keep warm in the winter, and we keep cool in the summer. And when you saw the events of last week, Mr. President, in the tragedy that occurred in Texas, there are many fingers to point. Some point to windmills, some point to natural gas, some point to Texas's isolated power grid. But what I point to, Mr. President, is the fact that we depend, despite the cancel culture attempting to wipe carbon from the planet, we depend on carbon-emitting sources for electricity. And Mr. President, if it wasn't for our carbon-emitting sources last week, this entire nation would have been just like Texas. Because you see, Mr. President, not only did our Commonwealth export power to our partners in what's known as the PJM grid, the 13-state grid in the Mid-Atlantic, they exported power across the country. We were an exporter of electricity. And yes, the vast majority of it, Mr. President, was carbon emitting. Now, I find it interesting we seem to be focused on presidential politics and presidential events. So let's talk a little bit about what Joe Biden did on his first day in office. What did he do? He canceled the Keystone Pipeline on day one. A slap in the face to the hardworking women and men in our energy sector that give us the power we need. The blue-collar union, trade union workers who keep our lights on. He slapped them in the face. And I suppose that's understandable given one of his top allies, Governor Wolf, has been slapping them in the face for the last 18 months. And while he continues to hide in his bunker and do his work virtually, the hardworking women and men that keep our power plants running, they don't get to sit behind a computer screen. They have to go to work every day, not only to pay their bills and feed their families, but to keep us all comfortable. And what does the governor do? The governor puts an anvil over their head. An anvil known as Reggie, or the carbon tax. And what would the carbon tax do? It would shut down our power plants, our carbon-emitting power plants. And yes, carbon is a challenge, and it's something that needs to be addressed. But take a look at the grid. Be honest with yourself. In that cold weather, what was powering the grid? It wasn't solar. It wasn't windmills. It was nuclear, it was coal, and it was natural gas. And that's it. That's what was powering it. So before we want to get on a high horse and continue to allow the governor to unilaterally push a carbon tax that, Mr. President, I believe is illegal, and actually the Independent Regulatory Review Commission just last week called into question the legality of this carbon tax, let's think about the consequences. Let's think about the consequences. And you know, Mr. President, I heard the governor in his budget address talk about the need to properly fund public education. And I agree. But boy, when he makes that statement, it's selective, because he sure doesn't give a damn about my public schools. Because when he closes my power plants, you know what it's going to do? It's going to pull $5 million a year out of my public school system. $5 million every year. And my students that I represent have every right to an equal education. Just because they come from an area that happens to emit carbon or our electricity, they don't deserve to have that kind of discrimination placed upon them. And now I know I'll hear, well, you know, the carbon tax, that's going to generate lots of revenue, and we're going to fix all those problems. Well, you know what the irony is, Mr. President? The only way the carbon tax generates revenue is if we emit carbon. Fascinating. So, we're either going to enter into this RGGI compact unilaterally, we're going to allow a carbon tax to be placed on Pennsylvanians, and it will be on their electric bills. And it's either going to do one or two things. It's going to generate money by continuing to emit carbon, or it's going to shut our carbon-emitting facilities, and it's going to move them to Ohio and West Virginia. And oh, by the way, look at China. Look at India. Look at what they're doing every day. They're putting coal-fired power plants online into their grid, and they're emitting carbon. Yes, carbon. And it comes across the ocean. It goes into the planet. And they're burning our coal to emit that carbon. So, Mr. President, our resiliency of our electricity grid is not just about economics. It's about national security. It's about investments in our community. And I am tired of feeling like I need to apologize for the people that I represent, because they go to work every day and they keep the rest of us comfortable. And so as we begin the debate over the governor's budget and the value of public education and the need for a minimum wage, let's not forget about the maximum wage workers in our communities. And I'm proud to stand in this case with the statewide building trades, with, as I said, the boiler makers, the electrical workers, the mine workers, because unlike what Joe Biden did to them and what Tom Wolf's doing to them, I'm not going to slap them in the face. I'm going to stand with them. And I'm going to continue to be a voice for those who've been rendered voiceless throughout this process. And I ask the governor to reconsider, to come to my communities. I've asked him for 18 months. Can't even get a response. Crickets. Crickets. And when I present viable options, and I appreciate the work that my colleague Senator Street from Philadelphia is putting into efforts for carbon capture sequestration, coal-based technologies that can work with time. And give us time. Give us the ability to develop the electricity, to develop the technology in the way to do it. Don't unilaterally, with the heavy hand of government, come into my communities and devastate them, all for a talking point. So, Mr. President, I encourage my colleagues to think about this in the months ahead, and I again implore the governor to remember he represents my people too, and he better not forget them. Thank you, Mr. President.